You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 21 October. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, we'll be chatting with Chantal Marks, Pick and Pay results, their venture into Nigeria, and the Standard Bank update. Combined Motor Holdings chatting with CEO Jeb McIntosh, vehicle sales under lockdown, and then Jeremy Sampson on Africa's most valuable brands. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb: Woolworths 750 million rand investment in lowering food prices, chicken included. Reuters, global markets, Asian stocks gain on US stimulus hopes, and the yarn surges. Morning markets, a fair bunch of green out there. US green overnight, S&P up 0.5%, NASDAQ up 0.3%. Asia also green, Sydney up 0.1%, Tokyo up 0.4%. Commodities mixed, but we've got gold at $1,923 an ounce. Rand a little stronger overnight, trading 16.43. And top 40 opening call looking for a green open, up around 0.1%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now is Chantal Marks. She's head research at FNB Wealth and Investment. Chantal, morning. Appreciate your time. The Pick and Pay results coming out yesterday. I suppose, in essence, we had a really good insight. I mean, this was the lockdown period. We've seen other food retailers, most notably ShopRite, Woolies coming through. Were there any big surprises for you, or was this a set of results which more or less, I think, came in line?
Yeah, I mean, it was more or less perfectly in line because they were so good with their disclosure, which is something really great that's been coming through from most of the companies listed on the JSE. They're kind of ultra disclosing. So by the time you get to results, there really aren't any massive surprises left. They also didn't give any sort of guidance for the next 6 month period or for the first few weeks of the new reporting period. You could probably say that was quite a surprise because of this boost to disclosure that we've started getting used to. And then I think the acquisition of Bottles was quite interesting. It's almost going to give them a similar situation to 60-60 in terms of what their distribution capability will be on online retail. And then, as you mentioned in the intro, Nigeria. Why?
That's brave. In their defense, they claim they're going to do it differently. Smaller little regional malls, a store at a time. But Nigeria is a bit of a graveyard for South African companies. I mean, I'm not going to list them because I'll run out of time. Those that have had a hard time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm just thinking about the latest casualties being Mr. Price and ShopRite. But they make a very good point with the way that they're approaching this expansion. So they're starting very slowly. They're not going to start and try and get a 10 or 15 store footprint in order to gain scale, in order to justify DC or anything like that. They're also not going into big flagship malls with huge stores that have pay high rentals, which really diminishes the investment case of being in Nigeria. And I think this convenience offering is actually quite clever. And why I'm also saying this is that when you see any sort of turmoil or uncertainty around geopolitics, around safety, around hygiene, which is kind of our latest example, people tend to go to places very close to them. They don't want to go to malls. And Nigeria is a very volatile place, and there's a lot of stuff going on there. So I think this might be a very clever way for them to go into that market.
Standard Bank did an update. They update to ICBC, who have a 20% stake in the business. They do that quarterly, so they give us some insight. My sense is the trend is sort of moving in the right direction, perhaps a little bit sticky. They talk about the loans, 46 billion rands worth that they had given relief to the end of June. About 95% of secured are paying, 90% of the unsecured, that's your credit cards, personal loans. It's certainly a lot better, but it's going to be that last little 5 or 10% going to be the hard part to claw back. And that's not an unimportant number on a book that size.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that if you look at the client relief portfolio, it's currently at 61 billion rand, which is quite sizable, but it's down from 107 billion rand at the end of June. So it is moving in the right direction, as you rightly say. And that 90 and 95% relates to lapsed accounts. So those are guys who didn't actually go for further extensions on their payment holidays. The about 83% of that extended portfolio, so the guys that actually decided to increase the payment holidays, was secured, which I think is also quite positive. And what it does mean is that when you are going to start seeing lapses coming through from this portfolio, a lot of it will be offset by auctions, right? Because you still have a vehicle and a house underpinning that loan. So it isn't as huge as the 61 billion rand would suggest, but it is, to your point, I agree, it's still quite sizable. At least we are moving in the right direction. I think profitability is going to take a bit of a hit, as they also mentioned, because of lower interest rates. But I think the benefit to the consumer ultimately will probably offset what would have been much worse had we not had lower interest rates.
A quick last question. We've seen Sasol under pressure yesterday, sub 100 rand. Lots of talk around OPEC Plus, but I mean, I'm not sure how much control they really have anymore these days. Is Sasol something you and your team are looking at, sub 100, or is there still that rights issue hanging over them?
I think the rights issue is still there. So, I mean, longer term, we think that there will probably be some sort of a rights offer, maybe not at these price levels, because, of course, it makes less sense the lower your share price is because you'll have to issue more shares. But I think that this is a company that could kind of fix itself. There's a self-help thesis to play out there, but it's going to be volatile. The world is an uncertain place. Oil isn't in high demand at the moment. You've got the threat of another COVID-19 wave gripping Europe at the moment, which will have further impact on oil demand. So expect a bumpy ride, but the stock certainly looks interesting at current levels.
Chantal Marks, Head Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. Appreciate your time this morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Today now with Jeb McIntosh. He is CEO Combined Motor Holdings, one of those little stocks on the JSE, which I think is overlooked by the vast majority of investors, but a stock that I've really thought is, as a rule, done very well over the years. Of course, pandemic changed much of that. 6 months ending August, revenue was off 38%. Headline earnings dropped to a 19-cent loss. They did bring back a dividend, a whole 1 rand on dividend, and cash for the end of the period, 609 million. Jeb, morning. Appreciate your time. Obviously, hard lockdown. You were closed, sort of gradually start reopening in May, but you actually only got fully operational from 8th of June. Is business sort of as back to normal as it can be under current lockdown levels and a global pandemic?
Good morning, Simon. Thank you for having us. Look, the business in our fixed departments, which is parts, service, and the used cars, is back to normal. We edged back to that sort of 100% mark now in October, and new cars are probably back to about 80%. But funnily enough, we're now running into stock shortages on the new vehicle side.
Is that stock shortage just? I mean, I've spoken with other listed stocks, and it's a supply chain issue. Is that supply chain?
No, it's completely logistics and supply chain issue all the way back to the overseas supply operations.
You mentioned new cars. They're still not quite back at the normal level. Is it fair to say that we're probably seeing some shopping from, you know, I might have planned to buy a new car. Pandemic happened, and I'm like, look, I need a car, but you know, I could either shop down on brand or stay with the brand and perhaps shop down into second hand. Is that broadly what we're seeing?
Well, we are seeing that trend, because the used cars are back to year over year, the same sort of level as previous years. Again, there's stock shortages in that area, because obviously we haven't sold enough new cars, so you don't create the used car. And it's a normal cycle in this type of situation, because the prices of used cars start moving up towards the new cars, and then you're back to the new car sale.
Are you seeing a shift maybe between your brands? You know, people almost perhaps shopping down. You know, they were going to buy, and I'm looking at your brand list, and it's, you know, I actually look for the brands which aren't there because there's so many which are. You know, maybe they were going to buy a Jaguar, and they're like, no, let me maybe buy a Mazda or a Honda instead. And not disparaging, I've owned Hondas and Mazdas, but sort of shopping down through the brands to perhaps still get that new car smell, but perhaps at a slightly lower price point.
That has happened to an extent, but it's quite interesting, Simon, that the people who can get finance or have finance have still continued to follow the brands that they want to buy.
Okay.
And our Land Rover operations have done extremely well during this period, which we didn't expect.
Okay, so I mean, we're suggesting really strong levels of brand loyalty to motor vehicles. And as I say that actually does make sense. I mean, touching your car hire, of course, a massive hit from car hire and a lot of challenges in terms of, you know, getting your fleet back to a more appropriate level and under new conditions. You talk around sort of getting that restructuring done during October. I'm imagining that the demand in that space continues to be incredibly weak.
No, it has been very weak, and we now in balance, our fleet's in balance with the demand, and we're looking at about two-thirds of our previous volumes, which I think is better than the industry because we have picked up some market share with some large accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And we are partnered with Safair as well, which is the airline that is flying, which has been of help to ourselves.
Carry on.
No, look, the car hire situation is in balance and it will be in profit for this half year versus the loss. Most of our losses came in the first car rental the first 6 months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Our car business, as you said, during 11 weeks, all the government departments were closed, which we need, testing spaces, licensing in particular. So very little happened there. We managed to get that money back, but the FCR... losses are the losses we've had for the time, and FCR will be a profit for the second 6 months, period, at a much lower level than normal.
Okay, I take your point. My sense going through your results, and certainly confirmed by a 1 rand dividend payment. You'd skip the year-end dividend out of, I imagine, an abundance of caution. But my sense from the results is that things are in balance. You're positioned as we sort of come out of the pandemic and things improve and the like. Your business and your brands are positioned in that you're, I don't want to say confident, but cautiously optimistic going forward and comfortable with the business as it's currently positioned.
Well, Simon, we've learned a lot from COVID. We've managed to cut costs in quite a few areas when you really look hard at it. I didn't think that I would be able to learn much more, but we have learned quite a lot from COVID. So I think we are quietly confident going forward, unless there's a massive second wave of the pandemic.
Yeah, and the risks have not left. Perhaps, if anything, we've learned to manage them a bit better. We'll leave that there, Jeb McIntosh, CEO, Combined Motor Holdings. Appreciate your time this morning.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Jeremy Sampson. He's Managing Director, Brand Finance Africa. And you've brought out their list of top brands across Africa. We're focusing on the top African brands. Jeremy, morning. Appreciate your time. I want to delve into the brands, but the key number that really stood out for me, brands they've lost some just over $6 billion in value. That's about 100 billion rand. It's a lot. But when I compare that to the actual companies that they represent, the MTNs and the Woolies and Vodacoms of the world, the brands have really stood up a lot better in terms of value loss. And I suppose that really goes to the core of what a brand is and that power of a brand.
Morning, Simon. Good to be with you. Yes, you've nailed it already. Big brands, strong brands will keep on going. They'll do better than others. In your previous interview, you heard that with car hire and things like that,
yeah.
And we know hotels, airlines, etc., they're all taking a hit. The brands that are doing the best at the moment are things like the tech companies, the telco companies, and they're very, very strong. And in Africa, as you're saying, the strong brands keep on going. And you know, we hear about cutting costs all the time, but one of the other things we don't hear so much about is maintain your brand, maintain your presence, maintain your share of voice, maintain your relationships with your customers, your consumers, and, of course, your staff. even keeping contact with your staff at the moment for some industries is incredibly difficult. We're in a new world, and I think we're all beginning to realize that it will never be the same again.
Yeah, and I take your point, absolutely. You know, even in tough times, maintain that brand because it's so critically important. The top two, MTN and Vodacom, but the list of that top 10 very much dominated by the telcos, dominated by financials, FNB, Absa, Old Mutual. The only two who not sort of telco or financial is Sasol and Woolies sort of sneaking their way in at, 7 and 10 respectively. This is a dominating by those banking, those telcos, those insurance really are those brands in it. I suppose it makes sense to some degree because those are the sort of brands which we're interacting with on in the telco space daily, in the financial services space very regularly.
Absolutely. And if you go onto the Brand Finance website, you can download the full report and you'll see it lists the fact that telcos and banks, as you've just said, dominate, followed by the insurance companies. But you know, when you consider that Africa is 54 countries, mm-hmm. only 19 have any brands in the top 150, and 87 of those top 150 are from South Africa. And that was a big shock to us. We didn't realize South African brands were so dominant across the board. And not surprisingly, Nigeria comes second, but it's only got 16 brands in that top 150. And then you go to Egypt, and then you go across to Morocco, and these are all brands probably that we've never heard of at all. And then you get to Kenya, which has 6 brands.
And that's my sense. I mean, I'm looking at this obviously with my South African bias and truthfully with a little bit of pride, and I see us in the top 10. But we don't have sort of those, you know, I'm thinking like an Amazon or a Facebook. I mean, certainly MTN and Vodacom are fairly well spread across the continent. Standard Bank, Absa, 2 degrees as well. But we don't really have any sort of true African brands from Cairo to Cape Town.
You're absolutely right. In fact, it's one of the points we make in our commentary. There is no pan-African brand. I reckon that Africa is a little bit like Europe was perhaps 100 years ago, that a lot of the major brands don't exist at this point other than in their own country. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these top brands operate just in their own country. Now, Capitec is a huge brand in South Africa and it's come up over 20 years. But to my knowledge, it still hasn't moved out of South Africa. And this is one of the things I think will change, as in Europe, that the top brands within a country, and as you've mentioned already, the Absas and the Standard Banks and the Old Mutuals are already moving out into Africa. They're already into 8, 9, 10 countries, and we're going to see more of that. And the other side of the coin is we're going to see a lot of them disappearing, perhaps, as overseas guys come in and either take them over or blow them out.
Yeah, and I suppose, I mean, part of it is, I mean, it's also, you know, obviously the more countries you're in, but the more countries you're in, the more, you know, people travel. I might go to a country which doesn't have Capitec, which, as you point out, is all of them bar South Africa, and start to talk about it. And then it almost becomes a case of you know, brand envy in a sense where I'm, you know, brands that I now am aware of but aren't yet in South Africa. I think of a local example, you know, IKEA's never come to South Africa and it's a brand I'm aware of, but it's not available. That really is going to have to be a key driver for these brands to get pan-African.
You're absolutely right. But one's got to also remember that a lot of companies, and we've mentioned them already, in some of the countries they're already in, some of the banks are not making money out of those countries. And this is where, mm-hmm. in Africa, as we know, there are problems, there are wars still, there's pestilence, but people don't have the spending power either. And this is where we often talk about Africa as the most unbranded continent, but also it hasn't got the potential in many parts. That's why, you know, South Africa is so, so dominant with its brands and its infrastructure. And anyone who argues that Johannesburg or Sandton isn't the central point, the hub for Africa, you only have to look at this data to realize, wow, it really is the point.
And that confirmed, I think, to me most by seeing Investec and Woolies at 9 and 10, which are a higher LSM. And I know Woolies would debate me on that, but they're higher LSM and they're exclusively South Africa. And there they sit at numbers 9 and 10 respectively.
Absolutely. And then the first brand outside of South Africa is Safaricom, which is in mm-hmm. number 12th place. And that is a huge, huge brand doing incredibly well. But it's quite a shock to go through these 150 brands and think, how many of these have I never heard of before? And here we are in the same continent. But this is where I come back to saying we are totally underbranded. This is interesting at the moment that people like ShopRite are actually withdrawing from some countries because they can't do decent business for their shareholders.
Yeah, that was for me, an embarrassing moment. I read through that list and there was a lot of them. I'm like, I don't know the rest of my continent as well as I probably should. Jeremy Sampson, MD Brands Finance Africa, appreciate your time this morning. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website or the app. Podcast available from 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie and Kodora, to you for listening, my guests for the early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.